Very excited for this next interview. Former U.S. international, 73 caps, 13 goals. Also played for the San Diego Sockers in the 94 World Cup against Brazil. He is in the National Soccer Hall of Fame. Not only that, he is big in player development in this country and has been. He is Hugo Perez. He joins us now. Hugo, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me today. It's always great to talk about football here in this country.
Now, you've been working with a group called Alianza, and I just want people to understand what this is. This is a program that identifies players. I've had Brad Rothenberg on the show. Just quickly give us a brief sort of synopsis of what Alianza is.
Yeah, Alianza is it's a group of, it's almost, I would have to say, a very important corporation now concerning football. They've been around for almost 15 years, and this year, they asked me to see if I wanted to get involved in their project. And obviously, this is a project nationwide. And basically, what they're doing is helping the Hispanic community and giving opportunities to players, not only Hispanics, every type of player, to be seen by pro teams and also to be seen by colleges. And one of the things that I admire from this corporation has been that now they're helping kids go to college and helping them with money, with scholarships to be able to go to college, because some of them really are low-income people. And the other thing is also, I think it's the only corporation right now in the United States that I feel has paid attention a lot to the Hispanic community.
We're talking to Hugo Perez, who's a player for the U.S. national team, also an under-15 national team coach. Are we doing enough for the Hispanic player in this country? Because I think after this loss to Mexico, a lot has come out of this game. It's led to a lot of discussion, you know, with this new system that Greg Berhalter's trying to implement. I mean, when I look from above that game, I still see Mexico with far more technical players, apart from one or two, than us.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I worked with U.S. soccer for about almost between 6 and 7 years. And to be honest with you, I think we've gotten backwards now as far as how much the Federation wants to be involved with the Hispanic community. Obviously, we still pick Hispanic players to youth teams. But I don't think as I've seen it through the years, that we really have the desire to really care and to be more, I would say, helpful for that Hispanic community. I think we're failing there big time. And as you mentioned, I think Mexico right now not only has a good national team, but I think it has players that are different than the ones that we have. And I still believe in this country that we can produce, we can develop those type of players, creative players, technical players. But for some reason or another, I don't think U.S. soccer is being involved a lot, and I don't think they are right now. So we have to do something else, and I think that's where Alianza could take a big place in doing that. Especially with the program that they have throughout the whole country right now.
Is part of this a selection process? Do you believe the players, from the rounding of the technical perspective, are there that could be getting through to the national team, or is it still a grassroots player development problem that we're not producing them? In other words, are there players in the selection process that just aren't getting through that probably should be?
Well, you have two things here. I think we have a grassroots problem in the whole country, whether it's Hispanics or whether it's African-Americans, Caucasians, or Asians. I think we have a big issue with that. And then, obviously, the second point, I still feel that we don't have enough people that represent those communities in soccer, especially with U.S. soccer. And the reality is that unless you have those type of people that know the culture, that know the people, that understands it's not only about the football side. It has to be also on the culture side. I don't think we have those people working right now that could make the difference to be able to help in this case.
So part of the problem is the lack of understanding culturally. That's what you're saying.
Well, it is. I mean, if I'm going to go talk to a Mexican-American family, parents who came from Mexico, Salvador, and the kids were born here, and I want to go talk to him or to that family concerning a national team program because we feel his kid is, you know, has potential, I have to send somebody who understands that culture. I have to send somebody on behalf of U.S. Soccer or any institution that understands what that culture is. And I think this is the issue that I still feel we have not paid attention a lot.
Hugo Perez joining us, played for the U.S. national team. At the time, was one of the most gifted technical players that we in this country had. No question about it. Also played in the 94 World Cup against Brazil. He is in the National Soccer Hall of Fame. I mean, being inside the U.S. soccer system as an under-15 coach, take us a little bit deeper into kind of what that was like and what you learned in there outside of what we've just discussed.
Well, working there, I think, and I have to say this in different ways, it was an eye-opener. Because I think a lot of the people on the outside see U.S. soccer as a great organization with potentially giving a lot of things for soccer. And indeed, we do have that. But I was surprised when I first got there, especially working with the youth national teams, how disorganized was at that time, and the lack of vision, the lack of plan for the long run surprised me a lot. And obviously, I always, you know, people speak about how we fail in the World Cup. Not qualified, but I always bring the point where when you win at any cost, in a certain way, it blinds you because you're not really evaluating what your program is. From the roots, from the youth national teams always, all the way to the senior national team. And I think that's what happened to us. We were qualified since 1990, but we never stopped to really evaluate the program, to really evaluate after each World Cup, how could we get better, who we can bring to help us to get better. Because at the end, we talk about the national team and the senior national team, but you and I know that in every part of the world, the national team, the senior national team is filled by programs under that for the future. And I think that's where we fail. Or at least one of the things that failed us not to go to the World Cup. And the other thing was, again, at the time I was working there, I kind of gave certain ideas concerning the youth development for our players. And again, I was surprised that at the time when I started, you know, there were certain questions that were brought to me that they felt it wasn't going to work. And at the end, I told them to just give me the opportunity to do it, that I felt it could work. And it turned out that, you know, it did work, especially at the development process with the training centers all over the country that I started in Los Angeles.
Is that what it was? Some of those things were? Was that the main focus, training centers? And what else was it that was going to kind of maybe change the landscape that you wanted to do?
Well, I want to, you know, the idea was to, how can we, first of all, we needed to have a vision of what we wanted to look in this country, the type of players we wanted to look for, and then what is it that U.S. Soccer was going to offer them when they would come. And obviously on the previous things that they did, it was only an ID selection. It was an identification all over the country from people who told you or you had information concerning what, you know, if this player from Chicago, Los Angeles, this is a player you should look at and all that. And that was fine. But I think for me personally, I think it was a superficial thing. We needed to go deeper. And the only way to do it, and I spoke to U.S. Soccer about this, was having an idea what type of players we wanted, what type of style of football we wanted to play with our youth national teams. And then from that, we needed to have these training centers in parts of the country that we felt we were getting a lot of those players. And then from there, giving them a process of working with them before choosing them to represent our youth national team, our youth national team program.
So you could develop them the way that you wanted with your ideology in these centers, and these would be magnets where players could come, and then you could train them the way that you wanted to.
Yeah, because the problem was that before we were just taking players from all over the country, and then we bring them to, for example, to a camp, and then in the camp at that time, there was no plan. Because I remember the first time I sent a plan to U.S. Soccer, they were surprised of all the things that I wanted to do. And they told me, I don't think this can be done with this youth kid, you know, with this young kid. And I said, why not? Oh, because it's too much. And I said, it's not that it's too much. I said, it's just, these are topics and these are trainings and this is what we need to do with them, video and all this other stuff that they have never done. And again, I was surprised because we're talking about U.S. Soccer Federation. And it turned out to be that it did work. And we started to get, not results only, but we started to get an idea to be able to bring those type of players. But those players were being brought now already trained before getting into national team camps, which I think had the advantage for us in picking the right players.
Train tactically, but also technically better players. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we basically, the training centers were sessions where you introduce them to what the idea of soccer or what we were looking for them when they would get to the camp, to the real camp. Mm-hmm. And obviously it had to do with tactical stuff, yeah, technical stuff and a style of play, which I thought it was important for us before those kids would get to the real camps with our national team.
Talking to Hugo Perez here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. I want to just make this really simple here, Hugo. Why aren't we producing more technical soccer players? I'm in Houston, Texas. I know there are tons of fathers of you know, Mexican-Americans, Central Americans, that all had fathers who grew up playing the game that have passed on the wonderment and the value of being good with the ball at your feet. I know it's all over Houston. We've only locally here produced one pro. There should be 10 Memo Rodriguez's who's moved through the Houston Dynamo system. I easily there should be without any problem. What is the problem? Why aren't we producing more of these players? And simplify it for us.
Well, I would have to say, look, this word I'm producing, it's a word that it has to be understood. First of all, the technical players that you see all over the world, most of them, where they're coming from, and it's important where their culture is, how much football they play on the street. And by the time they play on the street, they develop their technical skills because it's, you know, it's a free game. Nobody's teaching you anything or anything like that. But once they get to academies, the issue that I see now is that they're not spending any time with those kids perfecting their technical skills. is more generalized the training towards a team concept and winning at all costs most of the time than it is to develop a player in a certain position so he can become an elite player. And I think that's where the problem is at U Soccer with academies, whether they're MLS or non-MLS or in general youth clubs in this country. So I don't think we're spending any time with those kids on a personal basis. I'll give you an example. I was in Madrid, and we went to see a training session of Real Madrid, and we were there on a Monday night, and Zinedine Zidane comes in, and he takes all the forwards, and he starts working for it for about an hour and 15 minutes, finishing, crossing, and all that. That training session was basically only for those players in those positions.
It was specialized.
Now, yeah. Now, I've been here, and again, I was a technical advisor for the U.S. Soccer Federation for years, and most of the time that I went to evaluate the academies in this country, none of them had that program at the time that I worked.
So you went around the country and you watched a lot of the academies, including MLS academies, and they weren't doing specialized work with players positionally?
No, they were not.
Unbelievable.
And I always brought that up because obviously, you know, part of my grading was making sure that they were doing those things. Because at the end, look, let's face it, at the end, you can win all the trophies here in this country, even with the academy program, you know, league and all that, but what is it that we're looking for? We're looking at those players that are in academies or non-academies. We're looking that those kids would represent our country and become elite players, better players than what we have or what we used to have. But unless you work that way and you plan that way, then we can't do it. And what's happening here is that it is generalized. Everybody's worried about results all the time, and I think at the youth level, I don't think it's that important. The result is what you're producing and what you're doing with those players when you work with them for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Okay, and I think academies should worry, MLS or non-MLS, about really working with those kids and making them better, and the talent that they have, improve that talent. But it has to do a lot with individual work with those kids, and I don't think we're doing it. That's why you don't see players that have the capacity of the ones that you saw, Mexico, U.S., I mean, Lozano, Tecate. They decide a game in 2-3 plays individually, okay?
Yes.
And that's called good technique, good creativity, and I don't think we're doing it here enough.
So it's still, to you, results over individual development, and that's the reason why we're not producing as many game changers. You know, I look at the guys that are going to Germany, and a lot of these players are destroyers, you know, the Weston McKennies, the Tyler Adamses, and we could make a little – that doesn't mean that these guys aren't effective, and I mean, they're playing with big clubs, but they're definitely not technicians, and they're not guys that are going to win you a game by making a play, right?
No, because remember, those players are surrounded by those type of players, okay?
Yes.
But when they come here, those players are not surrounded by those type of players, okay? And that's the difficult thing. I mean, these are good players, but you already said it. They're not game changers. But the clubs that they belong to, they have players that are game changers, so they look good in those systems and those clubs, but when they come back here to the national team, we don't have those players to surround them. And that's where the problem is, because again, look, the biggest example I can give you now is, I think U.S. Soccer went to hearing the academies this year. Okay?
Yeah.
And those tiers are, part of the reason they did it was because they wanted more competitive games. Now, what is a competitive game? Because if I play against an MLS and I know that they have the better players than I do, if I wanted to compete and get a good result, then I don't have to take chances. I don't have to tell my players to play out of the back. I don't have to tell my players to do a lot of things that I feel could help them in their own development. Okay? So I pack it up. I lose 1-0, 2-0, and it's a decent score.
But you're not developing individuals.
Exactly. But then, here's the other thing. I go out and try to play against them the way I feel my players should play. Because at the end, I want one of those players to be seen by the MLS people that they're good enough to be in their group. But if I don't give them the freedom to play, and I just tell them, hey, you just go back, don't gamble, don't be creative, and get a good result, then I'm hurting the players. But at the same time, U.S. Soccer is punishing those clubs. Because at the end, when U.S. Soccer sees the results, they don't see the games. They don't know what is being done daily in the academies. So what happens? You suffer. You suffer because you try to develop players and because you didn't get the score that they feel is good to compete. Now you're in tier two or tier three. And that's a big mistake.
Yeah, and I've walked around these academy games, and I have been at times very shocked at the way teams are being coaches, exactly to the way you just described it. And I'm just saying to myself, this is not player development.
It's not.
These are people who are interested in results and not developing players. And it was pretty stunning to me at times.
Well, but again, when you talk to U.S. Soccer, even the title of the program is United States Soccer Development Academy. It was to develop players. And when I was working, one of the things that I really had issues with clubs were concerning the style of play, concerning the development of players. We were not doing a good job. And also, obviously, I graded academies not according to results, but according to what they were doing with those players to get better. And I had issues with clubs at MLS that complained that I was too harsh or too hard for them. But at the end, I wanted to make sure that they were doing something for these kids, because now I see a lot of the academies, it's just the result-orientated. And they should probably stop that and just call it another program, because it's not a development program anymore.
We're talking to Hugo Perez, played for the U.S. national team, also was the under-15 U.S. National team coach. My problem is sometimes there's just this desire to get the results, to market, to social media. And sometimes I just feel like it's a whole bunch of buzzwords and, you know, overall marketing. And every day we're putting a kid up there, and I'm saying to myself, man, we're putting the apple cart before the horse. You know, I mean, we're blowing these kids up so early. And we have to show the entire world that we're doing it every second of every day. And I understand it, because it's marketing, it's income for these clubs. It really is a difficult, slippery slope to navigate.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think, again, you have two sides here. What is U.S. Soccer can do to improve this, and what are the professional clubs can do to improve this? I still have an issue sometimes with homegrown players. You know, you're signing homegrown players, and in a year and 2 years, you release those homegrown players. So I think there's something wrong with that. If I'm going to sign a homegrown player, I got to make sure that this kid has been identified when he was 11 years old in a program, and then bring him to my program and then develop him in my program for the next 3-4 years. But thinking about, again, on my first team, and I think we're failing a lot. You know, we sign homegrown players, but
Hugo, I think there's always a rush to sign the homegrown player, because it's a vehicle of promotion. It is also marketing. And yes, I've seen kids signed that have no business being signed as pros, but they're propped up, they're given all these accolades, they never see the field, and like you said, in 2 years they're gone.
They never see the field, and 2 years are gone, and then obviously some of the professional clubs, they don't care about the academy programs. They don't care about those players, because at the end, you and I know that in our country, there's no relegation, okay? So if there's no relegation, then obviously you should take a chance at a good player, young good player, and play him, give him time, give him minutes, little by little. Some of them have started to do it, but I don't think it's enough. What we're doing now, we're going to Argentina now. We're buying players who are 19, 20, costing $15, $18 million. What is that telling you about what we're doing in this country? That means if we're going to do that, then why do we have the academy program? Why do we have, you know, people trying to develop players in this country if you're going to go buy young players to another country because our young players are not good enough? And we have to think about that. And I think that's a big issue right now.
Yeah, and that happened. That's been pushed by targeted allocation money and general allocation money. We're talking to Hugo Perez. Last one before I let you go, Hugo, and this has been a fascinating discussion and a great one. When you encounter Mexican-Americans and Central Americans, and I'd probably go more towards Mexican-Americans because they're our big rivals, but and they are such a great part of our soccer culture in this country, and Central Americans as well. Did they desire to play for the U.S., or did they desire to play for Mexico first?
Well,
or is it mixed? It might be mixed.
Look, obviously they have a choice to make, and they have three choices, basically. Some of the kids have parents from Mexico and other countries, Central America, they can play for, and then the U.S. Everything is going to depend who is in charge of our national team programs, our youth national team programs? Who is in charge of certain ages for those kids to be seen? Because you can have any coach and he might not like the style of, you know, Latino players. So he's not going to cultivate it. And it's been an issue now with our senior national team. You know, we let Jonathan Gonzalez go. We let couple of ones that I had them in the 14th and 15th national team because of issues there. So a lot has to do with that. And going into the future, don't be surprised if Mexico does a better job in getting them because of what they represent, the style of football they want to play, the type of coach they have. And if here in America, we want to change that, then they're going to have to make changes at the national team, at the youth level, with U.S. soccer.
And we currently, with U.S. soccer, we're looking for something different in a player than maybe Mexico is in the Mexican national team. And that's, it's interesting because we see guys that don't make it here and then thrive playing in Liga MX and at the Mexican national team levels.
It is. But again, look, the advantage that these kids have here from Mexico, I think it's huge. You know, the only thing that I would have to say that Mexico is in front of us is their infrastructure. The way they see players, the way they develop players. You know, I've been working with Alianza and we get scouts that come and work with Alianza and see players and they pick players that probably we could never pick, depending on the coach who's coaching our national teams now. But they see that for them, the important thing is about how much talent he has, how technical he is, okay, and how hungry he is to really play for their country. And I think all those things have to come into account when you're working at the youth level. And I feel, and hopefully somebody from U.S. soccer will listen to this. They need to get the right people to start working with the Latino leagues, to start paying attention to the Latino leagues that are not registered in big associations. They have to start thinking about how can I reach those people and make them feel that they're important and part of a process. Part of my job was that, and I went furthermore, and introduce myself to all these kinds of people at the Latino community because I felt that going forward in the future, whether we like it or not, the Latino community is going to be a big part of our national team program. And if it isn't for us, it's going to be a big, big thing for Mexico.
Ugo, we want to thank you very much for coming on. We'd love to carry this discussion on. It is a very complex one. It's a very difficult one. But, to get your insight is excellent. And I thank you very much for coming on the program.
No, I thank you for the time you're giving me. And best of luck in your program. Thank you very much.